ye, hear ye. I am your resurrection and your life. You live in me because you live in God. Everyone lives in you. No wonder I'm so messed up. That explains everything. So everyone lives in. People miss the humor of this book. This is the funniest book ever written, but it's the truth. And so people get serious about it, and then when you get serious about it, you miss the power of it because it's so intense that you can only take it when you're laughing. Yeah. It's like some things you let people tell you when you're laughing that you never let people tell you when you was being serious. So if you want to give an outrageous idea to somebody, they need to be happy. Well, I tell you about what happened to your car last night. I want to make sure you're feeling good. I tell you I wrecked it. You know what I'm saying? You want to make sure the person is as happy as they can be before you introduce something greater. He says,
where are we, honey?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, right now I just want you have a chance to just hear it. So if you're in me and I'm in you, then how can I see you as being a no good son of a gun and then not see myself as a no good son of a gun? And if I'm looking at myself as a no good son of a gun, how in the world could I not look at my creator as a no good son of a gun? Because my creator made me and I'm all messed up, so my creator must be messed up. Mm-hmm. So blame God. It's a blame God class. Blame God. If everything's going wrong in your life right now, blame God so it can be healed. God is the one thing you can blame and it won't boomerang. So I stopped blaming my mama and I started blaming God. Stopped blaming my friends and started blaming God. Because if I'm messed up, then what created me is messed up. So if I'm messed up, then it's not my fault. Because I didn't make me. Go to the toy maker. If you messed up, God is messed up. That's deep. That's what the book is saying. If you screwed up, God screwed up. If you messed up, what created you is messed up. He said, but everybody lives in you and you live in everybody else. So how am I going to see you as messed up and not see me as messed up? And he says, you got to believe in your resurrection because it has been accomplished, and it has been accomplished in you. You have actually resurrected. You are really much further along than you think you are. You're much further along than you think you are. You really have resurrected, and it's been accomplished in you. This is like a meditation, okay? Okay. I say it again. You have been resurrected already. You're better than you think you are. You've gone further than you think you have. You're doing better than you think. You're doing better than you think. You know something? I found out I hated myself so much, I didn't want to hear nothing good about me. Pardon me. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I hate myself so much that when someone says something good about me, I don't even respond. Then the book turns around and says, it's just as true now as it ever will be true, because the resurrection is the will of God. And then the book says, I'm going to tell you what the will of God is. The will of God is something that knows no time and something that knows no exceptions. So whenever I'm acting out of the will of God, there will not be any exceptions. So if I leave anybody out, I'm not expressing the will of God. So you can always tell the will of God, because if it's the will of God, nobody's left out. Everybody's saved. Everybody makes it. If God is behind it, there are, I don't care how much you don't like Hitler, Hitler gonna make it. That's deep. Because if it's God's will, there are no exceptions. That's just like me saying I want to leave this room, but I want to leave my foot behind. You know, if I'm going to leave this room, it's to take all of me out of this room. I can't leave part of me here and be gone. So any part of myself that I can't forgive is just a part of myself that I'm leaving in the fear that that's going to hold me there too, because it's a part of me. That's why you don't want. That's why you want to let go of all your guilt, all your fear. That's what the book is telling us. To me, is saying that if it's the will of God, he says, so you got to stop making exceptions for yourself. The reason why you don't see how much has been accomplished for you, is because you keep making exceptions for yourself. You keep saying that there are areas of your life that the truth doesn't work for you. You're saying, the Course says, what we're doing right now is that we have to stop making exceptions, because as long as you make exceptions, you really won't see the good stuff that's been accomplished by you. As long as you keep saying, I'm cool except in this area, I'm all right except in this area, there's some area that love doesn't apply in my life. Okay? Now, I'm on page 208. This is deep. This is really deep. The section is called Waking to Redemption. And I did not intend to do it. That's why I'm real curious to see what it's got to say, because usually the best things that happen to me is always nothing I thought up. Who heard me? So the mere fact that I didn't set up and plan for this means it might be a real cool class. Okay, this is deep. Okay. He says you got to stop making exceptions for yourself, or you really won't see all the good things that's been accomplished for you. So you got to stop saying there's some parts of your life that you don't deserve love in. There's some part of your life that you're going to exclude from being healed. There's some part of your life that you say, hey, I just believe I'm just in lack. In other words, this is my exception. I know there's abundance for everybody, but there's not abundance for me. Because if it's God's will, he says, we can tell if it's the will of our Creator, because if it's the will of our Creator, there won't be no exceptions. There won't be anybody left out. So if you really want to know your power, then you have to stop making exceptions for yourself. Since God doesn't make any exceptions, you got to stop excluding yourself from your good by saying there's some part of you that doesn't deserve it. Damn. We got to ascend to the Father. We got to ascend to the love. He says we got to ascend to the Creator together. Because we had to do it together in the beginning. We had to do it together now, and we're going to have to do it together in the future. He says, because that's our nature. We were created by God to be this creature that can only do things together. We are creatures who can only do things together, who don't want to do nothing with each other. That's so deep. That we are creatures who only can accomplish things by doing things together. But there's nothing we believe in more than our separation from each other. But we really do it best together. Do not underestimate the power of the devotion of God's creation, nor the power that God you worship have over you. So the book just told us, don't underestimate the power of the devotion that you have to the illusions of yourself that you worship. He says, don't underestimate the power of how devoted you are to the way you see yourself. Don't underestimate the power of how devoted you are to how you see yourself. You're devoted to how you see yourself. You're committed to how you see yourself. The Lord says, that's the God you worship. The God that I worship, all the false ideas I have about myself that I've experienced my whole life. That's my God. all the past, all the things that have happened to me in the past. I worship those things. He says, you place yourself at the altar of your God, whether it be the God you made or the God that created you. So you're placing yourself at the altar of a God you've made up, or you're going to place yourself at the altar of the God that actually created you. So your slavery is as complete as your freedom, because you will obey only the God you accept. The God you accept is the only God you're going to obey. You're only going to obey the God you accept. Now, if you're into the God of crucifixion, if you're into the God of punishment, then that's going to demand that you crucify. And then the Course says the worshipers of crucifixion obey. And so in other words, he says, those people who believe in crucifixion, those people who believe in attack, those people who believe in punishment, he says, they crucify themselves. And the way you crucify yourself is to believe that your power is going to come from your making sacrifices and going through pain. So anybody that's believing that they have to sacrifice and go through pain are people who are crucifying themselves. That's pretty clear. How do you feel about that? That's pretty strong stuff, isn't it?
Strong.
You know, it says, don't underestimate how devoted you are to everything that you believe in, and that you're going to always place yourself at the altar of whatever it is you believe in and what you worship. And then he turns around and tells us that if you believe in punishment and crucifixion and attack, he says, then what you're going to do is crucify yourself, because since you believe in the power of attack, then if you really want to be powerful, then you read the Course says, well, you just start attacking yourself more, because you believe that your power comes from attack. So how do I become stronger? Well, I just figure out ways to crucify myself and attack myself more, because I believe that's where strength comes from. It comes from attack. So if I'm really smart, why don't I start just attacking myself instead of attacking other people? It's easier. I'm closer. I'm always here. So the lazy man's guide to strength when they're crazy is to attack yourself more than anybody else, so you can get the power you think comes from being mad all the time. So if I get power from being mad all the time, then I just make myself mad all the time, so I can stay in touch with my power all the time. And I give myself stuff to be mad at about myself all the time, because I'm with me all the time.
Damn.
Ain't that deep? That's what I get out of the paragraph. What about you? That's deep. That's so true it makes me sick. Don't it make you kind of sick to be big like that? Don't that make sense, though? If I believe in the power of attack, right? Then, because I think attack will give me what I want and it's going to make me stronger, right? Because I got you straight, I'm attacking you. But then it makes sense that I would logically come to the conclusion that if I just attack myself, I would get stronger even faster. And so I believe that my strength and power comes through sacrifice and pain, because sacrifice and pain is how I do the sacrificing and the pain I need to be strong, because I believe attack is power. So I just attack myself. That's what the book just told us. If you believe attack is power, you forget that you're going to include yourself in that idea. So if I attack you, it's going to make me stronger, it's going to make things better for me. What I forget is that my mind is then going to apply to me the same thing, and my mind is going to say, well, if I attack myself, I'll also become stronger, and I'll also become more powerful. So you, without realizing it, what you do is you start attacking yourself so you can be strong, because you believe your power comes from making a sacrifice and going through pain. So if I believe that my power comes from sacrifice and pain, then I'm going to go for the wrong partner so I go through pain. I'm going to go for the wrong career so I go through pain. I'm going to do everything wrong so I go through pain, because I think it's through pain and attack that I get my power. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be attacking you so much. Okay, and then the next sentence turns around, and then it tells us what the God of resurrection, like, okay, now I'm going to tell you what the God of crucifixion is like. It's going to make you, it's going to say, why don't you sacrifice and go through pain, and then you're going to have it really nice in the end. Okay, and then the Course says there's another God, and you got to decide which God you're going to worship. You either going to worship the God you made up, or you're going to worship the God that created you, is what the Course keeps saying to me. Okay? And if you make up a God that's based on sacrifice and pain, he says, well, you don't crucify yourself. So if you believe in a God of sacrifice and pain, you're going to be a good worshiper, and a good worshiper would crucify themselves because they believe in pain and in the power of pain and sacrifice. That's what this book is telling us. But then it goes on to say there's another God, though, and we need to hear about this other creator, because this other creator, he calls the creator of resurrection. He said, first of all, the real deal, I love that, the real God doesn't demand anything. So if it's really a God, it doesn't demand anything. Then it says, because the real God doesn't want to take anything away from you. If I don't want to take nothing away from you, why would I demand anything? If I don't want to take anything away from you, why would I be demanding anything? So he says, when some real love, the way you can tell is that a person that really loves you is not demanding anything. They're not demanding anything because they don't want to take nothing away from you. And that's what a demand would be. It would be taking something away from you. So somebody that loves you does not take away from you. They don't make demands of you. And this book makes me sick because when I hear all the rules of people who really love, I realize, don't nobody love me. And I don't love nobody. And that was, you know, and I got my little sense of little sort of like self-esteem out of thinking at least I love everybody. And I failed every love test this book puts before me. It's horrible. It's horrible. You know, like it says right here, how you can tell the God of resurrection. Well, first of all, if you're dealing with the phony God, the God that's not the real God, you're going to believe that going through sacrifice and pain is going to make your life a whole lot better. So you're going to always be attacking yourself all the time and complaining about everything goes wrong for you because you really want it because it's giving you the pain you think you need to go through to actually be powerful. You know, because this is making you powerful. All this pain and crap you're going through, you're becoming stronger. And since you want to be stronger than anybody, you will go through more crap than anybody because you want to be stronger. And everybody knows you go through, you know, your strength comes through pain and struggle. And I'm a good person, so I want more pain and struggle, please. With a little sacrifice on the side. The McDonald's of hell. Give me a little supper and sacrifice and a little gift over there on the side, please. What's that going to cost you? How much is it going to cost? Coins of suffering. How much suffering did you do last week? Did you know enough suffering to deserve a hamburger? Yeah, you just don't know what I went through last week. Everything went wrong. Okay, you can eat. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I believe I deserve based on how much sacrifice and pain I've gone through that makes me worthy of it. So if I really want to be worthy of it, then subconsciously I will start ordering up a lot of pain for myself so that I can go through the pain I need to go through to be a good person. We're all trying to be good people through putting ourselves through pain. And the Course is saying it's not necessary. But if you choose to, I'm going to give you a few ways you ought to look at it. But you don't have to. But you probably will. It says in the book, make me sick. Say, you don't have to go through pain about this, but you probably will. I hate that. I want the truth book to say, you won't go through no pain. I want it to tell me I probably will. And I realize that I probably, he says, the reason why you're going to go through pain, even though I'm going to tell you this truth, you know why you're going to go through pain still? He said, because you're not going to believe it. And so you'll keep doing what you was doing all the time. So you still be feeling the pain of doing what you used to do because you're still doing it while you're looking at the truth and not using it, and it'll frustrate you out of your mind. It's like, I got a terrible headache. I think I'll open up the cabinet and stare at the bottle of aspirin and wait for my headache to go away. The book told me, said, boy, you need to take the remedy. You can't just look at the medicine cabinet and get healed. That's what I've been doing. What about you?
Yeah.
Yeah, just looking at the truth. You know, just looking at it. You know, check it out. You know, like a truth model show. And we're like sitting on the side watching the truth walk back and forth. Did I like this year's truth or not? I like last year's truth. I like the power of now. No, me, honey. I'm into the disappearance of the universe truth right now. Well, I want the Course in Miracles truth right now. Let's go back to looking at them again. So then he says, if it's the God of resurrection, that the real God does not require obedience.
I love that.
That's, I hit the jackpot when I heard that. Said that real love doesn't require obedience. Why? Because if I obey you, I'm just submitting to you. Obedience implies submission. So something that loves you would never require your obedience because it would never want you to be submitted to it. He says, what something that loves you, he says, what our real creator is trying to teach us is, he says, he would only have you learn your will and follow it. So the course is saying, our real creator wants you to learn what you want, learn what you will, and follow what you will. Something that loves you wants you to follow what you will. Something that loves you wants you to follow what you will, and not in the spirit of sacrifice, not in the spirit of submission, but I want you to learn what you want, and I want you to follow what you want in the gladness of freedom. I want you to be able to gladly and freely do what you want to do. That's why I love you. I want you to gladly and freely do what you want to do. I love you. This book is telling me how to tell when somebody loves me. And since nobody's saying this kind of stuff to me, it looks like I don't have no love. But the reason why nobody's saying it to me is because I don't say it to nobody. I'm not telling the people that I care about personally, I want you to do what you want to do in gladness and in freedom. Well, dear, I think I want to go off for about 2 or 3 days and go up to Vegas. You know, hang out with a few strippers and, you know. You really love me, you're supposed to say. I will, you do what you want to do and follow your will and go in gladness and freedom. But that is really what I say if I love them. That meant that my ego just go crazy behind that. What? You know, it's like I get, oh no. You know, what do you mean somebody might do something that I didn't want them to do in a way that they wanted to do it regardless of that's how I wanted it done? Don't you dare break my illusionary control of what's happening around me by making me totally aware that people just giving me the gift of my control over them. And they can take that gift away anytime they get ready. That's how I used to think I had like power over people. You know what I'm saying? And I realized that power was a gift. You know, they were like giving me that power. You know what I'm saying? And they can take it away. So if I made my happiness dependent on them making me feel powerful, when they took their power away, I was devastated. I was totally devastated because I didn't realize how much of my power came from thinking I had power over them. And them supporting that idea because it was something they wanted too. So if somebody wants something from you, they'll sometimes play whatever role is necessary to get it from you, even including acting the way you think you'd like them to act, if that's going to get them their goal. But if they see clearly that they're not going to achieve it, then they're going to stop playing whatever role they're playing, be who they really are, and freak you out. Because you never were dealing with them. You was just dealing with the fantasy that they were trying to act out through you. As long as they thought you could act it out, then they was going to act out yours. Now, how do you want me to be? I'll stop doing that. Okay. That's okay. You can just let it rest. I tell you, it's still getting in to see when you be asleep. That's when your ego be sleeping. I can really go straight into your head. Yeah. That's me, that's what I do. I have to close my eyes when I'm listening to people, but sometimes I feel self-conscious because I think they'll think that I'm asleep. Yeah, but sometimes when I cut out the sensory stuff, I can really focus in on the voice. So if you ever want to do that while I'm speaking, that's fine. And if you start snoring too loud, I just wake up. Because I had this nasty habit of thinking that people don't know when I'm asleep. You know how you fake it out? You really want to go to sleep, but you're trying to stay awake, so you'll try to stay awake even though you want to go to sleep, and you'll nod off and go to sleep, but you don't even realize you've been asleep. And to the person in the room saying, hey, you want to sleep? Why don't you go to bed? And you say, I'm not sleeping. But that just hurt you snoring, you know. You're so deep in denial, you still denied, you know. The Course says that we have, if you can forgive what happened yesterday, the book says, well, how can you have forgotten other things?
Yeah.
Like who you are. Mm-hmm. So then it starts to tell us how to tell the difference between love and fear. Like the book is saying. He says, if I really loved you, I would want you to learn your will and follow your will, not in the spirit of sacrifice, He says, but in submission, I want you to, God is saying, I don't want you to do what I want you to do because you submitting to me. The Course says, God would say, I want you to do what you want to do, and I want you to be glad doing it, and I want you to be free to do it. Which one of those are you going to choose?
Free to do it.
Okay. All right, now, I'm going to stop at the end of that paragraph and just throw it open for a minute, and let's have some fun. And any questions, any comments? I'd love to. To let spirit come through in that form also. Because I just said some deep stuff. Would anybody care to share what affected them the most?
I think when we're offered the freedom to choose to do it, then we have to take responsibility to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's easy to think, okay, I'm just going to let happen. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen, and that's God's will, and that's the plan of the universe, but that takes away our own responsibility and our choice in choosing that direction.
Cool. That's what I'm saying. It's no wrong answer. Has anybody else heard anything and would care to share anything? Or even a question? Like
well, what this makes me think of is growing up as a kid in my parents' disciplinary style, which was strict punishment, and then on the other side of it, they are saying, well, I'm making this big sacrifice for you. And so the question, I guess, is how much of this is just learned behavior that we need to unlearn versus how much of it is inherent in just the simple fact that we showed up here?
Well, they're the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's what's so deep. They're exactly the same thing, you know. The Course says everything you see is your learning. That perception is learning. So everything you're looking at, everything you feel, everything you smell, every sensory perception that you have is learned, labeled and categorized. That's deep. That's deep. So that's what. Anybody else?
I was thinking that when you were talking about the love, and that if you really love someone, you're going to let them do whatever they will. And I was thinking that coming from so there's two people, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one who's, well, they're both here, hopefully loving each other, but if there was someone in my life who loved me,
mm-hmm.
and that means that I could, they give me the freedom to do whatever I wanted, that'd be great. But I wonder if, in some circumstances, if you would feel like, to the world, that could be like they don't love you because they don't.
Yes, that's how real love is able to happen without the world interfering with it. Because nobody in the world wants real love. They think real love is a sacrifice. They think the idea of giving somebody freedom would be the ultimate sacrifice because they see love as limitation and exclusion. So somebody who's not ready for real love wouldn't have any appeal. They wouldn't be attracted to it at all. They wouldn't even want to be around it. They would be repelled by it, you know. So what's cool about that is that it's once you begin to recognize what love is, it makes it so much easier to tell when you're getting ready to form a relationship with somebody that's good for you, because you clearly know what the person looks like who's not. Mm-hmm. and the way you become clear of the person who does not is you keep on experiencing them in a million different ways until you finally get it. You know what I'm saying? So you go through, you change names, but it'd be the same man. Mm-hmm. Change names, be the same woman. You know what I'm saying? Until you find, oh, okay, this is what love is not. And that's how I know what love is. That's deep. Anybody else, any thoughts, any comments before I go deeper into this? Because it just gets more intense.
There's a point. Learn your will and follow it.
Uh-huh, check it out.
Gladness and freedom.
Yes.
And I deserve to protect myself from the consequences of your choosing.
What's really cool, though, is to realize that if you're doing it the right way, there's no need for you to try to come up with all these contingency plans about what to do if it goes wrong.
Wow.
You know, it's like okay, I'm gonna try the truth, but I'm gonna try to come up with I'm gonna try to figure out what I would do if any exceptions happened, if the truth did happen. So, you know what I'm saying? So I'm making exceptions, and by making exceptions, I'm keeping the will of God from functioning, because the will of God wants to bring me 100% happiness, and it doesn't want to leave out any part of my life from the happiness. But I keep making exceptions by thinking that there is some situation that's not the same. In other words, it's like, if I love you, I want you to learn what it is that you will, and I want you to follow it, and I want you to do it in gladness and in freedom. So the person came home and they said, you know, a few months ago I met somebody else, and I just really, 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 really fell in love with them, and I really, really wanted to be with them, and that's where I really, really want to be. You would say, if you love them, you would say, I want you to follow your will. I want you to have what you want, and I want you to be glad, and I want you to be free. Now, just because I'm being told the way I look at it when I can see correctly, it certainly doesn't mean I'm capable of looking at it that way now. So it's not about me feeling guilty because I can't look at it that way, because I just want to kill them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is so deep to me, because it's like telling us, he says, before I can take you into a reality that doesn't have any pain, I've got to introduce to you the idea of the fact that there is a reality that there is no pain. You got to let me introduce you to these ideas, that there is a love that there's not an exception. There is a love that it's not about submission. There is a love about someone saying, I want you to really be who you are freely. There is a love that's where nobody's demanding that you do anything or make any kind of sacrifices or don't do what makes you feel good. The quotes are saying, you know, y'all have to accept that there are people like that. There are people who walk around who are like that. I'm one of them. And if you sitting here and I'm in you and you in me, then you just like me and I'm just like you. It's in you too. But you keep excluding yourself by thinking either there's somebody else that don't deserve to have it, or thinking that you don't deserve to have it. And so you create the exception that keeps God's will from working in your life by excluding yourself from the happiness. By choosing to continue to go through pain and sacrifice because you think it makes you a better person, it makes you strong. That's deep.
Let me ask you, how do you love the person that's in sacrifice and in suffering, and that's their choice?
By recognizing that. By recognizing there's no exception for them either. You know what I'm saying? That right now they're following the path of sacrifice and pain because they believe it's going to make them stronger. Your job is to recognize it doesn't, so you would not put a sacrifice on them and you wouldn't try to hurt them. And that's to be your part, is that you didn't try to make them sacrifice, and you didn't try to make them your slave, that you didn't try to make them submit to your will. That you know, that's your gift. See, the gift I give to the people in my life is I don't try to control them. That's my gift.
We don't participate in there.
Yeah, in other words, I'm not going to look at you as if your purpose in my life is to do what makes me happy. I'm not going to try to control you. That's all a controlling person is. They think the purpose of your life is to make them happy. And they're mad at you because you won't do it the way they are experimenting with. They don't even know themselves. You know, it's like, I'm just trying to make people happy who didn't even know what they want. And since they didn't know what they want, how would they recognize it if I was making them happy?
Mm-hmm.
They just keep telling me to do something else. And you've been in those relationships with people who do that. You got to keep on doing something else. Then you got to do something else. And then they want you to do something else. And then they want you to do something else. They don't know what they want. And you don't either. And you're excluding yourself from your happiness by thinking you deserve to go through the sacrifice and pains you're going through and being in a relationship like that. You don't love yourself so much one day that couldn't nobody force you to be in a relationship that wasn't peaceful for you. They could not force you, and you'd be like, uh-uh, no, I'm not. It's going to help you grow. I don't care. I don't want to grow. I'm through growing. I had enough of growing. I'm going to grow and strike. You know what I'm saying? I'm sick of growing. Another lesson? I don't want one. I want to play. sick of learning. That's why I said, that's why I like this book. He said, this is your last lesson. I went, oh, right, okay, cool. I hated those books that told me I'd be learning forever. Mm-hmm. Who wants to learn forever? I want to create. I want to be. I want to extend. Don't you? Don't you want to create?
Yeah.
But you don't want to be spending all your time learning. Of course, that learning was a skill we made up to make ourselves think we were separate by the things we told each other. Learning is a skill we made up to teach ourselves wrong things about each other so we forget who we were. He says God didn't have even nothing to do with learning. And the God don't have to learn nothing. You see God like sitting up in college. You know, give me a break. You know, God ain't going to Princeton. He said, but God will use everything we've learned to teach us just the opposite of what we learned with it. That's what the book says. It says that God will teach us, God will take every skill you've ever learned and use it to benefit you and to make you happy and make you prosperous. I said, that's not, let me get this straight. You saying that there's a power that can take me just the way I am right now with everything I have right now and then use all of that for my healing and my awakening and for the good of everybody? This is what you're telling me, this book is saying. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Every single thing you've learned to make yourself afraid, your Creator can use to bring you joy and peace and happiness and all the cool stuff. This very same thing, that very same relationship that you're using to crucify yourself could be the same relationship that you're using to heal yourself. That whatever you're going through is causing you pain. There's a way for that very thing to be used for something that doesn't bring you pain whatsoever. And then he goes like, are you open to that? And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm open. That's how I got hooked on this book 25 years ago. He says, but if you want to be happy, he says, your resurrection must compel your allegiance gladly because it's a symbol of joy. So that means that the reason why it's compelling to you is because it represents what you want to be. Anything that represents what you want to be, anything that represents to you what you want to be, it's going to be compelling to you and you're going to be drawn to it. You know, if I really want to be, and I want to be in a relationship, then I'm going to be instantly compelled to whoever it is or whatever it is I think is going to allow me to have what I be. That's deep, man. He says, the freedom to leave behind everything that hurts you and humbles you and frightens you cannot be thrust upon you. I cannot force you to be free. The freedom to leave behind everything that hurts you cannot be forced on you. The freedom to leave everything that humbles you can't be thrust on you. The freedom for you to leave everything that frightens you cannot be forced on you. Your freedom cannot be forced on you. Your freedom cannot be forced on you. Your healing cannot be forced on you. Your healing cannot be forced on you. But your healing is being offered to you through the grace of God. Like right now, your healing is being offered to you. And you can accept your healing right now by your Creator's grace. Because your Creator is gracious to you. In other words, your Creator is accepting you without question as its own. So, you're being accepted as being part of the Creator, but what is your own? I love that. What is your own? You are owned by something greater than you, but what do you own?
Nothing.
Well, he says, well, the truth is the Creator has given you all that is the Creator's. And even the Creator is yours along with everything else. I'm going to give you, you know what, I love you. I'm going to give you everything, and for a bonus, I'm going to give you me too. I love you. I'm going to give you everything in me. Isn't it great? I love you. I'm going to give you, love gives you everything, and then it includes itself in it. That's so cool. He says, so what is your own? What is your own is everything that's been created and everything in it. That's yours. Why don't I see it? You don't see it because you're breaking the rule. You're making an exception. You. Well, how am I making an exception? Well, I'll tell you how you make an exception. You think the only way you can be happy is through struggle and sacrifice and pain.
But Earl, what's coming up for me is, okay, so I have
my devotion to sacrifice, and what's resonating for me is that I'm unconsciously asking for my greater power and learning. Because every time something happens, I'm like, why is this happening? What does this mean? And does that mean my mind is cluttered? I mean, I like, it's kind of like a hurt game.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. But don't forget, you're a good person. A good person becomes strong to hurt and pain. Honey, let me tell you what I went through as a young black boy. I remember them segregated water fountains when I was a little boy. You know, it's like, that's not to negate the power of what that experience was. That's not to put, you know, not to give respect to people who gave themselves the way they gave themselves. But it's like the book is saying, enough already. You've suffered enough. You've sacrificed enough. You've done enough. You've done enough. You didn't sacrifice anonymous. You've done, the book is saying, you've sacrificed enough. And what you have is everything, and everything includes God. That is deep. He says, then he says, now you've got to guard what's yours in their resurrection. Okay. In other words, my job is to guard you while you're resurrecting. I'm a resurrection guard.
Wow.
That's my job.
Well, cool.
So that is my job in your life. I am your resurrection guard. My purpose is to give you a safe place to remember that you deserve everything. I'm to be a safe place for you to remember that you deserve everything. I'm your resurrection God.
You busy later?
Yeah. But I do have my brother Bubba. And he's my substitute resurrection God when I'm otherwise preoccupied. And you love him even more than me.
I'm sure I will.
All right. Because I gave Bubba special instructions for you. Guard her in her resurrection. It's because, I tell you what, if I don't guard you in your awakening to the truth, he says, then I won't awake to God safely surrounded by what's mine forever. If I want to wake up safely, then I got to help the people around me feel safe so I wake up in a safe place. If I'm surrounded by people who love me, when I go to sleep, I wake up in a safe place. If I'm surrounded by people who love me, when I go to sleep, I wake up in a safe place. So I got to guard you in your resurrection. I got to do everything I can to support you remembering how much you deserve the truth and you deserve love and you deserve happiness. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want you to love you so that you'll be safe for me to be around. I want to help you love you so you'll be safe for me to be around. That's what I'm hearing this book tell me. You will not find peace until you have removed the nails from your own hands. You got to take the last thorn out of your own forehead. Woo! Because there's a love that's surrounding you that the part of you that is condemning you doesn't even see. So you must teach not that I died in vain, teach rather that I did not die by demonstrating that I live in you. You can teach that love didn't die by demonstrating that love lives in you. You can teach that truth didn't die by demonstrating that the truth lives in you. Because the undoing of the crucifixion of yourself is the work of redemption in which everyone has a part of equal value. So we are in the process of undoing each other's crucifying ourselves. I'm here to help you stop hurting yourself. I'm here to help you stop hurting yourself. I'm here to stop helping you to hurt yourself. I'm not going to help you to hurt yourself. I'm here to absolutely be a safe person for you to be around. That's my function. There is no God that's judging you as guilty. There is no God that's judging you as sinful. There is no God that's judging you as guilty. There is no God that's judging you as guilty. There is no God that's judging you as guilty. There is no God that's judging you as guilty. There is no God that's judging you as guilty. There is no God that's judging you as sinful. There is no God that's judging you as sinful. There is no God that's judging you as guilty. Because if God is in you, for God to see you as guilty, God would have to be guilty too. If God is in you, for God to see you as guilty, God would have to be guilty too. That's why you're guiltless. That's why you're innocent. Because God is in you. You have nailed yourself to a cross. You have placed a crown of thorns on your own head. How do you like it? Hi.
Friends fist.
You cannot crucify yourself. Sorry. The will of God can't die. So no matter how hard you try to kill yourself, and no matter how much you try to hurt yourself, and no matter how much pain you put yourself through, it's not going to do you any good. Because nothing can kill you. We've been trying to exterminate you forever. You can't be killed. So, the truth is, you've been redeemed from your own crucifixion, and I don't care how much you try to assign death to yourself, you can't die because God created you with eternal life. And I know you still have the dream of crucifying and hurting yourself, still heavy on your eyes, but what you see in dreams is not reality. What you see in a dream is not reality. And I know the dream of hurting yourself is still lying heavy on your eyes. But just because you're still seeing a little bit of the dream of hurting yourself, that still doesn't make it real. Now, while you perceive yourself or anybody else as crucified, that means you are asleep. So if you're seeing a world that it looks like there's sacrifice, pain, and attack, it means you are asleep. And as long as you believe you can crucify yourself or anybody else, you are only having nightmares. So if you are having an experience that it looks like it's a lot of crucifixion and attack and death, it means you are asleep and you are only having nightmares. But you who are beginning to wake up, you are the ones who are beginning to wake up. You are the ones that are beginning to wake up. You are still aware of the dream. You're still aware of this illusion. You're still aware of the sacrifice and pain. You're beginning to wake up, but you're still aware of the sacrifice and pain. You haven't completely forgotten the sacrifice and pain yet. You're at the point of awakening where you're still aware of some of your old ideas and you haven't forgotten them yet. The forgetting of dreams, which would be the awareness of Christ, the awareness of love, the awareness of the truth in you, comes with the awakening of others to share your redemption. I have to want to help you wake up to the same ideas too. I want to share this good news with you. The good news I want to share with you is you nailed yourself to a cross. You've been the one putting yourself through the stuff you've been going through. But the truth is you're so powerful and you're so strong that you really can't crucify yourself because you are a will of God. So that means you're a child of God. You can't die. So the truth is you've been saved from all the stuff that you're doing to yourself. And you cannot kill yourself because your Creator created you with eternal life. But you still having this dream of crucifixion and death, and it's still heavy on your eyes, but what you're seeing right now is not your ultimate reality. When you look around you and it looks like everybody's being crucified, attacked, and hurt, that means you are asleep and you are only having nightmares, but you are beginning to wake up, but you're still aware of the crappy stuff and haven't completely forgotten it yet. And if you really want to forget all of the crappy stuff, once and for all it calls for is the awakening of others to share your happiness. I want other people to wake up so that they can be happy with me. I want all of you to wake up so you can be happy with me. I want all of you to wake up so that you can be happy with me. I want all of you to wake up so you can be happy with me. I want all of you to wake up so you can be happy with me. I want all of you to be happy so you can be happy with me. I want all of you to be happy so you can be happy with me. I want all of you to be happy so you can be happy with me. I want all of you to be happy so you can share my redemption. I want all of you to be happy. I want all of you to be happy so that you can share your happiness with me and I can share my happiness with you. Take a breath. Just relax. Just relax. And you don't even have to pay attention to what I'm saying unless you want to, because I want you to do what you will and do in gladness and in freedom. So I'm just going to see if I can get this in my mind. I want you to do what you want to do in gladness and in freedom. And if you're doing what you really want to do, and I know that it's coming from love, then I know it's not going to hurt me. So I don't have to be afraid of freeing a person I love and a person that loves me, because they would never hurt me. There's no harm in freeing someone who loves you, because they would never do anything that would really hurt you. It's only hard to free people that you don't love. It's only hard to free people that you don't love. Because to free someone that you don't love would be like freeing someone that you think might hurt you. And if you think somebody might hurt you, you got to keep them real close by so you can watch them and make sure that they don't get away so they can hurt you. But when you love somebody, you know that you all's love is totally safe. So that in freeing them, you know that you would not be harming yourself. I want you to learn your will, and I want you to follow it in gladness and in freedom. I want each and every one of you to learn what it is you really want, to learn what it is that really, really means the most to you. And I want you to follow it in gladness and in freedom. You're no longer believing that you can only be happy and strong through going through suffering and sacrifice. You're no longer worshiping the idea that you can only be happy and strong through going through suffering and sacrifice. You're letting go of the idea that you can only be happy through struggle and pain. You are letting yourself off the cross. You're taking the nails out of your hands and out of your feet. You're taking the crown of thorns off your own head now by recognizing that your happiness does not come through your suffering. You don't have to suffer to be happy. You're beginning to wake up, but you still have some of the old beliefs in your mind. But that doesn't make them real, because you haven't completely forgotten them yet. It doesn't mean you still believe in the old stuff just because you haven't completely forgotten it yet. It doesn't mean you still believe the old way, even though you might not have completely forgotten it yet. You've accomplished more than you can imagine. Man, could you imagine what it would be like to be surrounded by people who really thought the more they protected your happiness, the safer they would be and the better things would go for them?
Yeah.
Could you imagine how cool that would be to be around somebody that actually believed that your peace was the key to their own peace and them having what they wanted? They would be looking out for your peace as much as they would be for their own. That would be so cool.
And it would be cool to be able to do it, too. You know what I mean? Think of that one coworker of mine.
You know, that's why, so you hedge your bets by hanging out with the people that you like. That's the shortcut. I'm telling you the shortcut.
Yeah.
The shortcut is as much as you can be around the people that you like and that you enjoy, because they're easy for you to appreciate and love. It's no effort to do that. So they're the fastest ones for you to increase your joy with. It's not about being around all the people that you don't like, trying to make yourself like them as part of your spiritual growth. Because then if you get caught up in spiritual growth, you'll be seeking out the most difficult people for the most difficult relationships so you can go through the greatest spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Through suffering and pain.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what the book is trying to tell us today. You know, you want to let go of that idea that you can't get what you want without going through pain and struggle. You got to let go of that idea that you have to sacrifice in order for you to be happy. And the way the idea is going to be released is by your seeing more and more and more about not what happens when you don't sacrifice and what happens when you don't put yourself in pain and what happens when you do start moving toward the ones that say to you, you know something, I really want you to do what you really will really make you happy. And not only that, I want you to be glad, I want you to feel good about it, and I want you to be free about it. That's the kind of person that you want sitting in front of you looking at you in the face. So somebody that's saying something like that to you. That's not hard. It's more people like that than it is like these crazy people. We are the minority. There's a lot more cool people than frightened people. Frightened people just don't see them. Because they're suffering. So they can become stronger. Mm-hmm. They're too busy. Mm-hmm. I know you love me right now, but I'm too busy thinking about the one I had 10 years ago. You see what I'm saying? They're too busy suffering. Sorry, my prayer's answered, but I ain't got time. I'm suffering. I venture to say, anybody who's sitting up here in this room today is surrounded by everything they've always wanted and they don't know it. We're in the meet and greet area of heaven.
You know, one thing that really got me today was when you said, if we're living God's will, everybody makes it.
I know that makes you, that's deep to hear. Mm-hmm. Especially when you can think of terms of people that you feel like need punishing and stuff. I'm going to do the love offering too, while I'm thinking about it, so we can get out of here pretty much on time. Thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for coming to the classes. When I was gone, I want to thank Stephanie for doing it. I appreciate your generosity. The course is my way of serving in the world, and I'm trusting and letting God provide for me through fulfilling my function. But that comes with your appreciation. Remember, I'm in you, so that means everybody in here got a little black in them.
Yes!
So that's right. It's all part of you having a good time, because I'm going to tell you, I part off the Irish in me. You know, blimey, you know what I mean? I'm so glad I got everything inside of me. It's so much fun. You ought to try being something other than your sex and race sometimes. And don't get arrested. Okay. So, thank you. So the next class is at 12 o'clock, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Thursday. I'm getting ready for more extended periods of learning together and doing stuff like this. I want to do that. 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning.
Not next Sunday. We'll have a
picnic. I'll be doing my class at a picnic in the park.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Don't you think the Course in Miracles is kind of intense? Am I alone? I'm not alone thinking that, right? But isn't it that very intensity that attracts you? You know, that even though sometimes it knocks you out and it makes you want to go unconscious and you think you're crazy just for listening to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, all of a sudden, but then you have that jewel, that Course in Miracles jewel thought come out. And it's like, bam! And it's like, oh, that made all the rest of that totally worth it. You know? I can feel this happening as I say it now. I can feel it. I can feel the change that's going on inside of us. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. It's really happening. That's what I was getting ready to say. We're in the meet and greet area of heaven, going through an orientation session, because we still remember where we came from. And so it's still clouding our vision, because we haven't gone outside the door yet. And they're trying to prepare us for what it's like in the real world, where there's no demands and no sacrifices being asked, and everybody wants you to do what you want to do, and they want you to be happy, and they want you to be safe, because they know it'll help them recognize their own power. You're getting ready to go into that kind of a world. I just wanted to let you know. And it's going to bring up a lot of your fears at first, because you're going to be very suspicious of the people that you're around, because you never met anybody that nice before, so you know they got to have a game they're trying to run down. So don't shoot your savior. Don't shoot your savior when they show up. Know enough about what your savior would look like that you could recognize them when they would come up. And that's what's being described. What's my savior going to do? My savior's not going to make any demands. My savior's not going to attack me. My Savior's going to see my safety as their safety. My Savior's going to say, I really want you to do what you really need and want to do, and I want you to be glad, and I want you to be happy in that. See, I'm learning. See, I'm learning what my Savior, so that when somebody comes to love me that way, instead of me being afraid, I know I must be dealing with the real thing, because somebody who was faking could never pull that off. Some things you can't fake. That's deep, isn't it? And that's what's getting ready to come to us. You're getting ready to meet most loving beings you've ever met before. They're going to start sprinkling in like drops of rain, like before a shower. You can bloop, 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 bloop. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm your black bloop.
Yeah. We have time for just a quick 30-second story that really happened to me.
Okay.
I had this lady at work. We did a lot of things together, and she made one simple little statement that I didn't like. Okay. Doesn't even matter what the statement was. So I went, by God, I'm shutting her out. I mean, I'm shutting her out. We're not going to Santa Fe. I'm changing my plans. I did the whole thing. And for 4 days, I didn't speak to her. And each of those nights, I noticed I couldn't sleep. Until this one night, I went up, and I woke up. It brings the tears to my eyes. I thought I was crazy. I mean, I had anxiety. I had. And I went, okay, I get it. I get it. I've got to join. I've got to let this go. I'm just going to see it different. Stopped by McDonald's, got her a damn Dave McMuffin, went in, put it on her desk, and I said, so when are we going to Santa Fe? And I totally slept the next night. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it?
How does it sound to you?
Healing. But you know what I mean? It was just, I mean, I...
Yeah, well, you decide to end your own suffering. That's all you did. You just decided to end your own suffering. You decided that you were not going to use the pain thing anymore in order to give you power, that you was going to use real power. So so as we go out here today, y'all, let's all have a great time. I mean, you really enjoy it. I mean, really have a good time today. You know, I mean, really have a good time. As much as you can, do what you will in gladness and in freedom. That's what I'd like to see, if you could do that today. If you do what you want to do today, and then be glad you're doing it, and then freely go do it. That's my gift that I'd love to see happen to you.
Cool. Okay.